Thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all. Y'all make it easy to get geared up to preach, let me tell you that. I am ready. I've got a message today for you. If you want to turn, go ahead and start finding it. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning of verse 38. Before we get there, though, I have news for you. I have some news. Rebecca, would you mind standing, please? Rebecca and I, this is going to be news to some of you, but Rebecca and I are expecting. Well, not a baby, no, we're not. No, we're not expecting a baby, but Rebecca and I have great expectations. We're expecting a lot. We're going to talk about that a little more. She didn't even know she was expecting until I told her, but the title of my message today is, So You're Expecting. And normally when somebody says, we're expecting, what do they mean by that? Right. In a few months, there's going to be another little bouncing baby boy or girl going to be coming along, right? Well, what else can we expect? What else do we expect? And what I want to talk to you today about is as we read this passage, and this got so big so fast in my mind and my heart that there's no way that one sermon can contain it all. So we'll be continuing it on with this theme. But today I want to look at what happens when people don't meet your expectations. That's what we're going to talk about today. Has anybody ever been disappointed in somebody? Don't point at them, just especially if you're sitting next to the person. Next week, we're going to look at what happens when God doesn't meet your expectations. Because that happens. And then we might even look at what happens when we don't meet other people's expectations. And I want to begin to look at that today in the story. And over the next couple weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about these three people and their siblings. They're all, if you don't know what siblings means, it means they're brothers and sisters. And not just in Christ, but it for real, like blood type stuff. Okay? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Brothers or brother and sisters. I want to read this to you real quick. Lazarus is not actually in this passage. He's going to come along later in the next week or so. But Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38 and following. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You know, it's always worse when they say your name twice. If you ever get a three time, you know you're in trouble. Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And from this little passage, we can learn a lot. Just in the relationship, not only between Mary and Martha with one another, but their relationship with the Lord. And a lot can be learned from this. Now, for most of us, as we begin to look at this expectancy, what we can expect, for most of us, there's a chasm or a gap between what we expect and what we experience, right? We often have high expectations, and our experience is often somewhat less than what we expected. Everybody ever been on a vacation? And you had like this big plan, and you had like, oh, I'm going to do this and this. It's going to be so awesome. And then you get there, and then like things happen, and you forgot luggage, or they lost luggage, or you know, something happened. You spilled coffee down your shirt. Whatever happens in your vacation, you come home, and you're like, I've never been so ready to be home in all my life. That vacation was the worst. Or maybe it wasn't that bad, but maybe it just didn't quite live up to your expectations. Has anybody ever had that occur? Sometimes, I'm having trouble with this microphone. It's not meeting my expectations. I expect it to stay put. Sometimes we get married. And sometimes we find that we may have expected some things, and they're not quite turning out like we expected. I will tell you that my wife, when we met a million years ago at Howard Payne University on a mission trip, and we came back and she fell in love with me and convinced me to be in love with her too. And I was in ministry classes and I was studying to be a youth minister. I mean, she was like, this is it, because her desire, her goal in life was to be married to a youth pastor. Am I right? She says yes. Her goal was to be married to a youth pastor. And here's why. She wanted to go to summer camp every year of her life. Well, then it turns out that I wasn't to be a youth pastor. And so she's stuck here. What were you thinking? Lord, you told me, I told you what I wanted, and I expected to be married to a youth pastor. Now I'm not married to a youth pastor. I'm married, but he's not a youth pastor. Now what? There was a gap between the expectation and the experience. 18 years. I'm still not a youth pastor. I'm just going to have to get over that. Sometimes we have expectations at church, right? Sometimes we have expectations at church, and what we actually experience is somewhat less. Talk about that a little bit more in depth a little bit later. You know, it wasn't that long ago when our world is changing very, very rapidly. And it wasn't that long ago that things like the mail. Today, some of you don't even know what mail is, but there's an actual post office, and you lick this. Actually, you don't even lick them anymore, do you? They're sticky. My, things are fast, quickly changing. But they used to be, when you sent a letter to somebody, Dad, when you can remember writing letters a long time ago, how long did it take to get a letter to somebody if you were sending it, especially out of state or somewhere? A week or so. Today, you can send that letter and it'll be at somebody else's house in a couple days, usually. 3 days tops. Telephone. Anybody ever have a party line? Let me ask you this. Does anybody ever remember doing this? Cranking the phone. Okay, there's a few of you that remember that. Things are a little bit different now, right? If you were out in the yard and the phone rang, you had to decide, is it worth me running all the way into the house to get there and try to beat it before it stops ringing, or should I just let it ring? Well, today, the phone rings and we just, hello? Because it's right there on our hip usually, right? Lots of things changed. We don't expect a letter to take a week to get to us. We don't expect to have to go all the way into the house to take off this massive unit off the wall and crank on this deal, or even do the. I talked about that one of my very first sermons here, because when I grew up, we had this old phone. You know, it was like the size of a, like this, speaker box almost. And you picked it up and you dialed. No, we only had to dial 5 numbers. You had to dial the area code, didn't even have to dial the prefix. Our phone number was 6, 3644. My sister's number was 3003. And if you ever messed up, you did like the 6, 3, 0, 0, 4, oh, I meant 3. Oh, hang up. 6, right? Well, we don't expect to have to do that anymore. TV, radio, the internet. Now, you want to send a letter to a mail, send a letter to somebody, you type it up, hit send. 2 seconds later, it goes, bing, you have mail. It's in their box, right? You don't expect, if you're texting somebody, you text them and they don't reply in 4 minutes, what does that mean? They're mad at you. They're ignoring you. It certainly wouldn't mean they have better things to do, right? We expect that if I send you a text, I expect to get a response. Maybe even a smiley face, you know, a sideways smiley face, or a K, like we're okay. It means, you know, or we expect something, right? Especially when we see and it says delivered and read. We know that they've read it and they're still not replying. This gap between our expectations and what we actually experience. Sometimes people respond to this gap by simply lowering their expectations. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we think, well, I'll just lower my expectations. That way I'm not disappointed. But here's the problem with that. It often leads to hopelessness. And I'll tell you why. You ever hear somebody go, now if this is you, I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but maybe you've heard somebody else say, well, you know, it is what it is. I'll just have to deal with what it is. I guess I'm just not meant to be happy. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. We just hope for the best and expect the worst. The problem with lowering our expectations to the level of our experience is that, listen, in reality, the level of our experience is determined by our expectations. Y'all get it? If you lower your expectations to meet your experience, the problem is that our experience is often determined by our expectations. So if you expect this, you're probably not going to experience anything better than that. You lower that down, guess where your experience is going to be? Even lower. But sometimes we just don't get it. We find ourselves doing that over and over and over again, and we find that we just end up walking around, well, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. It is what it is. I guess I'm just not meant to be happy. Nobody loves me. Most of you came today to expect to receive something from the Lord. Most of you came today expecting to give something to the Lord. Most of you, I would hope, at least some of you, have high expectations for coming here today. Some may have come just expecting the bare minimum. Your expectations. If you've come expecting the bare minimum, I'll tell you, you're going to miss out on what you could have received had you expected God's very best. Because He wants to give you His very best. Sometimes we lower our expectations. So what do we do about that gap? I want to propose to you today that instead of lowering our expectations to meet our experience, that we allow God to fill the gap. You still may never experience what you expect, but if you'll allow God to fill that gap, He'll fill it with some really great stuff. If He'll meet your expectations. He will exceed your expectations. Here in Luke chapter 10, we see a disappointed expectation, did we not? Martha. Remember, Martha, Martha. Could you just imagine hearing that sucking of the sound, the wind through the teeth? Martha, Martha. What am I going to do with you, girl? He says, Martha is disappointed because she, what did she expect? She expected Mary, her sister, to help her, right? Today we have disappointment in our expectations. Maybe we have disappointments in our marriage. Maybe the marriage didn't turn out. Maybe it didn't last. Maybe we expected that when he said, till death do us part, we really meant for that to be that way, and maybe that's not been the case in your life. Maybe you can say, well, I expected them to protect me, but they're the ones that did not provide protection for me. As a matter of fact, they're the ones that even led me into some harm. Maybe they even abused. I expected them to be loving and honest with me. That's what I expected, and they didn't. I expected that God would answer my prayer and he would heal that disease. And there's been a gap between what we expected and what we received. What do we do with that gap? What do we do with that gap? How do we deal with it? I want to tell you that I've noted five things. And if you're a note taker, I want you to write these things down. I won't call them out by number, but I'm not going to do them all at one time. I'll notate them when we get to them. Five things that I want us to remember as we look at the gap between what we expect from others, okay, we're talking about others, and what we actually get. Number one, I cannot expect what I do not express. Anybody ever said to you, well, I can't read your mind? I've heard that expressed to me before. It's not fair to expect others to know your expectations if you don't express them. Right? Sometimes we expect, and especially with our spouses or our children or our parents, we expect them to just understand and know what we want, what we need. We're not telling them. We wouldn't dare do that. They're supposed to know. Right? Now let's give Martha a little credit. She expressed her expectation, right? Although a little bit later than she should have. But at least she didn't. Can you imagine this? She's in the kitchen, and she's disappointed, right? Because what she expected was for Mary to come in there and be helping her, and Mary's not. Mary's sidetracked as far as she's concerned. She went to Jesus. Don't you even care? Look what I'm doing here. Help me out. At least she wasn't in the kitchen. Could you imagine this? Slamming the cupboards around, banging the pots and pans up and down as if to say, hello, there's stuff going on in the kitchen. I'm in here all by myself. Boom. I wish somebody was helping me cut all these vegetables up. Has anybody ever done that? So you know what we're talking about. Martha, bless her heart, she often gets a bad rap for not doing what Mary was doing, right? But look at what it says in verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named who? Martha opened her home to him. Martha is the one that opened her home. Martha said, come and eat. Now, if Martha doesn't open her home, and if Martha doesn't cook supper, guess what Jesus is doing? He's buying a microwave burrito down at the gas station. Martha has the gift of getting stuff done. She does. She has the gift of getting things done. I'm going to open my home to Jesus. Jesus, come and have supper at my house. I'm opening my home to you. I'm going to fix you a meal. And she's getting stuff done. She has that gift. But here's what happened. She let that gift turn into a source of her resentment. Have you ever had your gift turn into a source of resentment because you expected other people to be on board with your idea or your ideas or your game plan? And all of a sudden, they're not. Maybe because you haven't even expressed your expectation. But you're upset because they're not on board with you. They're not just like, hey, let me just be with you and I'll do whatever you want, whenever you want it, and however you want it done. There's a gap. There's a gap. Number two. Number one was, I cannot expect what I do not express. Number two is, I'm not authorized to negotiate anyone else's relationship with God. We get disappointed in others because we expect them to express their love for people and for God in the same manner in which we express ours. And we look at them and we say, well, they just don't love people like I do. They must not love God because they're not doing the things that I'm doing to show my love for God. So resentment sets in. I heard about a man who was upset because his church just wasn't doing enough for the homeless. And he had a burden for the homeless. And so he went to the pastor and said, Pastor, we need to do more in this area. We need to be doing things for the homeless. The pastor replied, I agree with you. What do you need so you can accomplish that mission? The guy looked him up one downside and the other like, what do you mean me? The church needs to be doing that. Who's the church? He wanted to place his expectation and burden on others, but wasn't willing to take action himself. Martha says, Jesus, come over and eat. She has an expectation that her sister, Mary, is going to help her pull it off. Our mistake is that when we start trying to go between that other person and God, trying to figure out what our plan for that person's life is. Y'all get this? Figure out what our person for that person's life is and then get them to cooperate with our version of God's purpose for that person's life. Martha says, Jesus, don't you care? I'm not authorized to negotiate anyone else's relationship with God. Here's number three. I must resist the temptation to draft others into my dysfunction. You see, Martha's the one with the problem, but her perception was there was something about Mary that needed to be fixed. Martha was the one having the problem. She went to Jesus and said, Jesus, fix her. That's the mic version. My sister's all abandoning me, Jesus. Tell her to get up off of her knees and quit worshiping and come stir porridge or something. I don't know. Her perception was there was something wrong with her sister, when in fact the problem was with her. That often comes out in our jobs, right? Maybe we've had jobs and we're like, well, that job didn't work out. We'll go to the next job. Well, that job didn't definitely work out. That job didn't work out. All these jobs, they just have issues. Remember the car that I used to drive and it broke down? Yeah, well, then I got another car. Well, it broke down too. Then next car, I had car trouble with that one. Don't matter. I don't know what they're doing with these cars these days. Nobody else has trouble. My cars, the cars that I have, I don't know what's wrong with them. Problems. There's a common denominator in that stuff, y'all. If they're my cars that always break down, guess who might have something to do with that. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the way I treat my cars. Sometimes we have relationship issues. They used to be my friend. Oh, that person, yeah, they used to be my friend too. And they used to be my friend. I used to be friends with that person. I used to have lots of friends. I don't have very many friends anymore. I wonder why. All my friends, they have issues. They have problems. I'm getting a little close to home, I know. When you start laughing, that means you start relating to what I'm talking about. Sometimes we're funny people, you know. Verses 41 and 42 says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Sometimes we're mad. Sometimes we get mad at someone, so we go tell a friend about it. And then we get mad at that friend because they're not mad at the person we were mad at to begin with. We're trying to drag somebody else into our dysfunction. We're trying to say, they did something that made me angry. Don't you think that I should be mad at them, and you should be mad at them too because of the way they treated me? Y'all aren't laughing anymore. Sometimes we get frustrated because people refuse to become overcommitted like we are. I'm miserable. Why would you come and be miserable with me? Hello? Because I don't like to be miserable. I'm so overwhelmed. Come and be overwhelmed with me. Martha, Martha. I could just imagine Jesus. Martha, Martha, I didn't come here for the food. I appreciate the effort, but I came to be with you. If I needed food, ask the boys what I can do for food. They've seen what I can do with some fish and some bread. I didn't come here for the food. I came to be with you. And you're having a problem. You're trying to drag everybody else into your problem. Sweetheart, it's not our problem. Don't make your problem somebody else's problem. Number four. The greatest source of my frustration with others is my confusion about God's expectations of me. Jesus said, you're concerned about many things, but only one thing is needed. Maybe instead of complaining to God about all these people who need to be fixed, maybe we need to listen and see if God wants to clear up my understanding of what His expectations are for me. Maybe I need to get quiet and get still long enough to find out if I'm even on the right track or not. Because when we think we are and we're really not and nobody else is going along, we get frustrated. We get upset. And our expectations aren't met. Here's number five. Don't let what you expected keep you from what God wants you to experience. I want to read to you a passage, a poem. This is written by a lady named Emily Kingsley. She is the mother of a child with Down syndrome, and she's written this and some other works to kind of give people encouragement. Let me just read this to you. It says, I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability, to try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you go and have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian, and it's all very exciting. Italian, yeah. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands, and the stewardess comes in and she says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland?" you say. "What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you on a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. You must go out and buy new guidebooks. You must learn a whole new language. And you will meet a whole new group of people that you never would have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there a while, and you catch your breath, you look around, you begin to notice that Holland has windmills. And Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy. And they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And the pain of that will never, ever, ever go away. Because the loss of that dream was a very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to go to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special and very lovely things about Holland. Don't let what you expected keep you from what God wants you to experience. I want to read a passage, a verse to you, Ephesians 3:20. I love this verse. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." A lot of times, I understood that to mean that God wants to exceed my expectations more than I could even imagine. But I think God has begun to show me here in this passage that God doesn't always want to take us higher. Sometimes he wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us deeper so that we can realize what is really important. Martha, you're concerned about many things, but only one thing is needed. One thing is important, Martha. One thing is important. You're missing it. You're concerned about all this stuff. This is what you expected. This is what you planned. This is what's important, and it's not part of what you've got planned. It wasn't part of your expectations. I'm not going to give you the greatest party ever. I'm not going to take you higher. I'm going to take you a little bit deeper. Because this is what's important. Sometimes we find ourselves at that point in our lives, folks, when we've expected God to do this, and we ended up with this, and we're going like, "What?" And like the writer said, we can spend the rest of our life griping and complaining about not getting to go to Italy, and we'll miss out the things about Holland. Sometimes we've experienced things in our life that aren't like what we expected, aren't even close to what we expected, and they're different. You can either get bitter or you can get better. A lot of times we choose to just be bitter. I want to point something out to you. Very important that it goes unnoticed about Martha. Here, she has gotten so busy about all this stuff and frustrated. And she even went to Jesus himself. "Jesus," as if he didn't already understand, "what you don't see, God, what you don't see is that I'm having trouble over here and I need her to help me. She's not doing it. Fix her. Come on." Jesus said, She's doing what's important. It's not going to be taken away from her. You could learn a lesson from this. We read later on in John chapter 12, verse 2. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And we don't hear anything else about an attitude that Martha had there, right? She got it. She got it. Do we get it? Do we understand that there are expectations that we have? We expect things. We expect God to be doing things. We expect people to be doing things. One of the first things we need to do is we need to check, where are our expectations? Are they in line with what God says is important? Or are they focused on us and what we want, what we think, and how we think ministry ought to happen? Sometimes, folks, the way we think ministry ought to be and needs to happen, Jesus, I think, would say, oh, Michael, 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 you're concerned about many things, but you're missing out on what's important. You're busy about doing the stuff, but you're missing out. I came to be with you. I came to change your life. I came to be with you. I came to just to hang out with you. I want to spend time with you. I know stuff needs to be done, and people do that, and that's great. But you need to get on my page. I'm not coming on your page. It's like he told about Mary. It will not be taken away from her because she's chosen to do what's important, and I'm not going to take that away from her. You could learn something. Well, she did. Are you and I learning? Are we in the process of learning how to deal with that gap in our expectations? We're not going to always get what we want. We're not going to always get what we expected. How do we deal with it? Well, I hope we've learned something about that today. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your relationships with your brothers and sisters. It'll affect your relationship with your neighbors. It'll affect your relationship with God, how you deal with those other people. Today, here in this place, Dolan Baptist Church, make this be the day when you say, God, am I even on your agenda? Am I, the stuff that I've got planned and my expectations, are they what you want from me? Let me examine that. Maybe you need to spend some time at the altar this morning just examining that. Am I even on the right page? Am I understanding what I think I feel, what I have expected? Am I understanding that correctly? But then have the attitude, Lord, if not, show me. Because I'm willing to be on your page. Your page is much better than mine. Maybe that's true because you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what page you're on. If you're not saved, the page is going to burn up. This worship service we had this morning, phenomenal. I was touched and moved. Your name, Jesus, your name has the power to save. Have you put your faith and your trust in the only name that can save you? Do that this morning. Let me encourage you. I can't convince you. I can't convict you. I can't make you. But let me tell you something. The Spirit's the one that draws. And if He's drawing you, don't turn Him away. Don't put Him off. Don't deny the only hope you have of eternal life. Whatever you need to do today, take care of your business before you leave these doors. Before you leave this building, take care of your business right now and start a new page of your life as we stand and as we sing.